invested in yourself. For most of us, we're investing time in others and we're helping others. We're helping people in our businesses, but we don't take the time to actually invest in ourselves. And so today that's a topic that I want to talk about because I think it's important for all of us. No matter if you are an entrepreneur, you are a business leader, you're a mom or a dad, like when are you investing in yourself and how are you growing as a leader first to be able to really get to that next level of success, which is what we talk about here. So I am so excited to have Jordan DiOrio with me. She is the CEO and founder of Mend Jewelry. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Mend, but what I want even more is her journey. And I think a lot of us, when we look at entrepreneurs and we see the stories, we don't always see everything else that happens behind the scenes, right? I call it we see the highlight reel, mm-hmm. which is awesome, but we don't see the reality reel. And I think it's important for all of us to understand as humans, the journeys that we all go through and what we can take from that. So thank you for being here. I appreciate it.
Hi.
I'm rocking my Mend jewelry today, and it wasn't even by design. I just wear it all the time. So we'll get you details at the end, but whether you're a husband or you're a woman listening, you need to know what Mend jewelry is, and you need to get out there and check it out.
Yes, good plug. Very good plug to start.
And so tell us just a little bit, just your background and kind of how you got to where you're at, and I think those journeys are really important. So we'd love to hear that.
Yes. Well, hi. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. I love all your Mend. It looks fantastic. I also just gave you the earrings out of my ears because I think you needed them.
True. Sorry.
That's exactly why I wear it. I'm a walking marketing strategy myself. Okay, so the short version of how I've gotten to where I've gotten is I'm actually from Chicago originally. Come from a big Sicilian family. I like to tell people I was raised by wolves because I legitimately was. A lot of carbs, a lot of fighting, a lot of love, but like definitely survival of the fittest. So I think feel like people are either like comedians or entrepreneurs that come from big families, which I think is really funny. But I landed in Minnesota to finish my undergrad. So I got my degree at the U. I actually put myself through college. So because I had a big family, money is not a thing, especially when the market crashed in 2008. And I graduated in high school in 2011. So I put myself through college. I graduated with a degree in marketing and advertising. As once an aspiring journalist, I realized that wasn't the lifestyle I wanted to pursue, but I still wanted to tell stories and I still wanted to have some sort of creativity element to the work that I do. So I graduated with a bachelor's in Stratcom, and then right out of college, I was actually unemployed for 6 months because I was looking for jobs. That was really,
really
hard.
That's the real journey.
Oh my God, that was super hard. A lot of crying, a lot of applications, a lot of tears. I actually mentor college students now and talk to them about their journey because it's, you know, you graduate college, you don't get your dream job right away. You kind of take what's available and what's going to give you a skill set.
And I think sometimes they see people and it's like, that's not what most people, what's happening. It's really sharing that real journey with them.
No, and you have to be so committed to hearing no. You have to be okay with hearing no and like knowing that it's to me, no is like not the right fit. Not right now. Hey, we hired internally because it's more cost effective. And I've learned that as a business owner, why people hire internally. But you don't learn that and you take it really personally. So I was unemployed for 6 months. Thankfully, I had saved enough to like be able to apply and look for jobs. And then I finally got jobs in the marketing agency world. So I worked at a couple ad agencies doing project management, which again, not something I studied in school, but I have this skill set of like, I'm super organized. I love, in the terms of like traction, which is that EOS platform, which I know you're familiar with, I'm 100% an integrator through and through. So I'm like, I love delivery and I love working on multiple things and then seeing, pushing people to deliver a really good product. Yeah. So I worked at a small agency and then I moved to another agency. And then I did project management and that was more of a startup atmosphere. That agency did like digital marketing, product build, and they incubated startups. So almost everybody I worked with had a side business, which was really cool. So I was in a very entrepreneurial environment. So in 2017, I was really like itching to do something. I've had previous jewelry brands that like I put on Etsy. There's one called Striking Gold where I like took heirlooms and I made them into something, but I treated it like a hobby, therefore it was a hobby. I mean, when I was 16, I was, like, selling canvas bags, and I was, like, printing art prints and, like, ironing them on bags. So I've always been, like, making stuff.
Yeah.
But not...
it was a creative outlet. Yes, but not something. Yep.
So in 2017, I like, couldn't afford to get my MBA, but I really wanted to, like, learn more about, like, running a business from, like, zero to one. So I started Mend, but I had the thought of, like, this is going to be a business, therefore I'm going to treat it like a business. And mind you, I was not making very much money. I was probably one of the lower paid people at my company. I barely had savings. I mean, I was paying off student debt, and I was like, I'm going to take my savings, and I'm going to pour it into this jewelry brand, and I'll see what happens.
So a true entrepreneur.
Right? So I, like, dug into my savings. I think I invested, like, $1,500. That was, like, the amount, because I'm a project manager. I was like, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars over this six-month period to see where I can take this brand. So I, like, came up with the name. I, like, begged and traded all my creative friends, and I paid them in necklaces to, like, help me make a logo, help me with photography. Mm-hmm. What's the scrappiest way, most affordable way I could set up a website? And I did all that, and I launched a brand in 6 weeks. I had product up. Excuse me. And then, yeah, I launched in February. So actually, Mend is going to be 3 years old this February.
Congratulations.
Which is exciting. And it was really awesome. I had a really good launch. I started to see traction in the business. And then I feel like I saw good traction. And then in the summer, I was like having a really hard time because I was like, the business is not making any money. I don't really know what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm getting into stores, but like, it was a really weird moment where I was like, oh, I'm not smart enough about money to know if there's any potential in this business, but like, I know there's a demand for it because I'm creating
your
a brand.
Your passion was
like
there, but the other piece, yeah.
Yeah, and I was, and then I like, you know, I was going through some personal family stuff that was very traumatic all at the same time, and I like had like a come to Jesus moment where I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I'm working so hard at my job, and then on weekends and nights, I'm like filling orders. Like, is this really what I want to do? And because I knew, like, in my heart, like, I've known since I was 16 that I've wanted to be an entrepreneur. Like, that's mm-hmm. always been my North Star. Like, I don't know what it was going to be.
Yep.
It's always there, and it's, to me, like, freedom is, like, for me to build and do my own thing. I, like, had taken a step back, and I, like, looked at, like, the pros and cons of if I stop, if I continue, like, why am I telling myself I want to stop? And then I, like, made a promise to myself. I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself until the end of the year to, like, see this through and see what will happen. And then I also, like, set up a business bank account, set it up as an LLC. I was like, let's just really commit and see what will happen. And then I wrote myself a check for a lot of money, and I only had $40 in the Mend bank account. And I, like, looked at this check every week, and I was like, this is going to come into my life somehow. I know that this is what I should be doing. And I was even like interviewing for other jobs in the agency mm-hmm. world, and I was getting super far. I'd be like in the second round, and then I wouldn't get the job. And I'm like, oh my God, am I not good at my job? Should I not be? And it was this very weird time where like everything was up in the air, and I didn't really know what I was supposed to do, but I just knew that like I had a feeling something with Mend was going to happen. So that was in the summer. And then just through my network, I happened to meet this wonderful couple that were interested in investing in my business. And I pitched them. And it was so wild. It was like, I met them through my network. It's a couple. So I met the woman, and her and I met for coffee within 15 minutes. She was trying to make an offer. We were like fast friends. We had very similar stories. And yeah, and then I met her and her husband at, like, a pancake house. I pitched them Shark Tank style. I watched a lot of Shark Tank. That was the only way I knew I was ready. Even when it came to, like, negotiating equity, I was like, what do they do on Shark Tank? I'm just going to follow what they do on Shark Tank.
I love it.
Like, there's no, like, when people ask me, like, how did you determine equity? I was like, no. I don't know.
Yes, most entrepreneur. Like, yeah. Thank you for being honest, because it's like, you're flying by the seat of your pants.
No, you don't know until you know. So, like,
correct.
Now I know, like, in the future with businesses, like, how do you, like, effectively determine, like, equity and how much mm-hmm. your business, like, you don't know that until you do it. And to me, I was so less interested in equity, and I was more excited that these successful serial entrepreneurs and business owners saw something in me. I was like, oh, this is what I needed to hear. Like, this is what
I'm validation.
Yeah, it was just validation. And And I love that it was people that didn't know me. It was people that they saw my brand first and then they met me. Because I think sometimes we surround ourselves with family and friends that are going to support us no matter what. And that's great, but I would hate to have family members only be buying my jewelry, because then it's like, that's not a viable business model.
Yeah.
Just family and friends to be buying my stuff.
Or because, investing in it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that doesn't tell me that it's a great idea.
No, that just means you love me, Mom. Correct. I love my mom, but like, that's not, so that to me also, it gave me the validation of like, oh, this is really awesome. Like, business owners see something in me. This is what I should be doing. So we met, pitched them. The amount that they invested was double of what I put on that check. And I showed them that check, and they were like, mind blown. And then I think it was like a month. I mean, we hired attorneys, did all the like, oh, the very unsexy things, like writing an operating agreement, paying out of pocket for an attorney, just all that negotiating stuff. And thankfully, like, we all did it together in a room. Very, like, stressful and scary. Because I was like,
it's the first time you do it.
Oh, my God. I was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm signing up for. And I was telling my friends, and they're like, what? These people just want to give you money? They're like, who are these people? Do you trust them? Of course, everybody, like, doesn't trust anybody anymore.
Yep. And people who love you are skeptical, about anybody else that could.
Yeah. Or they, like, project their experiences onto you. Or you hear all these stories about partners who go up in flames. Or it's like they steal their business or they take too much equity. But I just knew when I met them, I was like, oh, they're the real deal.
Yep.
And when I connected with her, I was like, she is a self. They're both self-made entrepreneurs.
Yep.
So I was like, that's a different breed of human. Like, they've been through some stuff. And I've been through some stuff, so we can bond over that.
Yep.
But we did all the boring stuff of, like, negotiating a contract. We signed it. And then I put in my – I actually gave my job, I think, 3-4 weeks notice to wrap up all my projects. And
you took the leap.
I took the leap, and it's so funny because – you know, when you work in a startup environment where everybody has businesses, I don't think anybody believed that the jewelry designer would have gotten funding. And there were some people that had some really, I felt a lot of doubt. And it's nothing against those people, but I do think there's a perception about the industry that I'm in. And that there's, it's not just like a cutesy little hobby, but like, I think some people were like, holy shit, the jewelry designer got funding. And she's quitting, and she hasn't even been in business for a year.
Yeah.
What have I been doing wrong for the past 5 years?
Maybe they're not investing in themselves at the level that you were.
Yep.
So that's the topic that we're going to talk about.
And I danced right out of that office. Didn't look back.
So what do you, you're on the Superpower Success Podcast.
Yes.
So of course we have to start out by asking you, what is a superpower that you've got that you think has really helped you to this point in your success?
I'm going to do 2 because I'm an overachiever and I'm an 8 on the Enneagram.
Okay.
Which means I'm a challenger. And I make my own rules. I would say one that is, like, tactical is, like, I am super organized. And I think as a creative, there's a perception that creative people aren't organized.
Neither,
and I wholeheartedly disagree. But I am organized to a point where it is, I want to be the easiest person for someone to work with. My goal is, like, what's the easiest way for me to get a yes from you? And that's actually how I secured a brand like Nordstrom to carry me online. Was I made it as easy as possible to convince them to potentially take a risk on me.
Yep.
So that's like a tactical one that I think you learn it by like a discipline, but also like, I'm 1 of 7. So I've been a project manager since I was probably 8. And I'm just like managing everybody and being the liaison between everything. And then I think my more fun superpower, because I don't think organization would be that fun for some people. It is for me. I think my second superpower would be, I call it the razzle dazzle. And I think it depends on how much coffee I have, but I have this ability where I can, I am very personable and I care about people. And when I turn that razzle dazzle on, I am going to get what I need and I'm going to do it in a way that is beneficial for both people. AKA, I feel like I'm a closer. In the sales terms, I just call it razzle dazzle because, like, closers.
But not in, like, a used car sales
kind of way.
At all. Like, just in a passion.
Yes.
I call it, like, you're tapping into a deep passion.
Very persistent. And I genuinely am not turning on that razzle dazzle if I don't believe that it's a good fit. And I think that's just part of, like, just being transparent and honest with somebody. Mm-hmm. That's the Chicago in me where I just kind of cut through everything where I'm like, this isn't going to work. I don't think it's a good fit. But if I truly believe, like, Nordstrom, I knew. I was like, that is, I need to get in there, and I'm going to go through the back door. I'm going to break rules. I'm going to get my wrist slap just to figure out how I can figure it out. And it worked. And I did it within my first full year of funding. Nordstrom carries me online.
And I think that's a small piece. And that's not just with entrepreneurs. I think that's really important mm-hmm. for everybody to hear is, and you talk about the fact you're so organized would tell me, if I were just to profile you, that you don't maybe take risks as much, because I think people that are super structured are more uncomfortable with risk. But I love that you talk about kind of that risk-based approach is mm-hmm. what I would call it, is we take risks all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think we think of them as risks, but being able to kind of balance that risk, and I'm not afraid to get my hand slapped, but yet I'm not going to be just this, like, throw it against the wall with no right. organization. And it's kind of the right. balance of those two.
So I think, I love that. And I actually listened to a podcast about it. It's called Risk Intelligence.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, it is on the TED Radio Hour. If you listen to that podcast with Guy Raz, I love Guy Raz, and I'd love to meet him one day. Just to hear
his
voice.
I just listened to him on the way in.
Yeah, I love him. But he did, I can't remember, I'll have to send it to you as a follow-up, but I remember there was someone who specifically talked about risk intelligence and mm-hmm. that it is a skill set that people have where they can look at something and they can ultimately decide, is it worth taking the risk? And sometimes things that, like, me reaching out to Nordstrom, people think it's a huge risk, but in my mind, I was like,
what's the worst?
They said no. And then I still continue to, like, chip away.
So the risk is more in our heads sometimes than it 100%. Is an actual risk that will harm us, hurt our business, like, something like that.
Yeah, and I think the term, like, calculated risk, sometimes I feel like anytime I hear the word calculated, people think it's a negative thing, and I don't. I think really smart business owners that I've talked to, they always say, like, it's a calculated risk. You're thinking about it beforehand, mm-hmm. so you're measuring, like, is it worth the effort or the money that I'm going to put in? Is the return going to be there? And I think people think risk, to your point, like, regardless of if you're an entrepreneur or not, or if you work in your job, like, risk is going to not necessarily mean that you're quitting your job and not having an income. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think we take risk too.
Like, extreme. It's too big. Yeah. It's the daily stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's the small decisions.
Yeah. And I think, like, risk is just I feel like it's an anxiety-induced version of courage. I just think it's like courage and risk. It's just like,
we could do a whole nother podcast on this.
Right. I think it's just a different flavor. Just like anxiety and excitement are different flavors of the same feeling. Yep. I feel like courage and risk are, and people think I'm very risky, and I don't. I live for the, like, putting myself out there and seeing what happens, but I know the worst case scenario isn't going to kill me.
Yeah.
So I will. Yeah, with that, if that's
I think
the
that's
case.
Important. What's the worst thing that can happen? I say that
to
coaching
no.
clients all the time.
And no is not even a bad word. No just means, like, oh, you just made the decision for me. It's better than a maybe. Oh, I hate maybe. I'm so indecisive. I need a yes or a no. I don't like people that are...
Oh, Chicago, I love it. The personality is coming out.
The indecisive.
Yes or no, two options.
Yeah, that's it. There's no maybe. There's no gray. But maybe there's some things that are gray, but I'm thinking, like, in the sense of, like, taking a risk, you have to just, like, commit.
Yeah.
Commit, make a decision.
And I think that I do agree, and we're totally going off on this risk topic, but I think people standing, I just had this conversation with a business owner where you've got one foot in each and you're kind of half in, mm-hmm. but not half out. That's a lot of people stay in that space and then they wonder why things don't happen, but because they aren't able to just take both steps, 2 feet
plant
in
feet.
Here, figure it out. If it doesn't work, you take a step in a different direction.
Yeah.
But they kind of half-ass it, right? They're not really into it, and then they wonder why they're not getting the result that they want.
Just got a whole ass it. Can't half-ass it. Seriously.
Oh, so just to be clear, if you're listening to this in your car with kids or anything, is she's wearing a shirt that says doing cool shit, and she said, can I swear on this podcast? And I'm like, let it fly. As long as it's not like every other word, we're good. So just so you're prepared for however you're listening to this podcast. So I want to go back to the topic of kind of investing in yourself. And, you know, you had this moment of other people that you didn't even really know mm-hmm. investing in you and had that, oh my gosh, moment. But how is that investing in yourself? How do you see that has helped you in your journey up to that point?
Mm-hmm. I feel like investing in yourself is going to mean different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And I think the number one priority, I think, is mental health. I think you have to be so... You just have to be in, and I don't think you have to be 100%, because I don't think anybody's 100% on their game, but I think it's like you need to make sure that, like, you are in a good place mentally, physically, emotionally, but I just am such an advocate for mental health because I have terrible anxiety. And in the past year, I've dealt with it head on, and I've like dealt with it, and I am in a better place than I've been probably for a very long time because I've just ignored it, and you just distract yourself and hope that it figures itself out. But and I think that that means different things. Sometimes it means like actually going and seeing your doctor. Maybe it's therapy. Maybe it's
meditation.
More or holistic. It's taking a bath. I'm a dedicated bath taker. I don't shower. I bathe and I take a bath. I'm very specific. I have a regimen with bath salts and candles and oils. But I think that like that is the first, and I think that is the most important thing is like, are you, because you cannot make a good decision with your life if you are not in a good place mentally. Yeah. It's only going to distract you from any decision.
It's interesting. I just read an article about kind of this redefinition of self-care.
Yes.
You know, people think self-care is selfish sometimes, and it's the spa, and it's the, but it's the little things day to day. It's, for me, it's, you know, going up at night earlier than everybody else, and I kind of just go through my peaceful thing before I go to bed. And I'm not trying to avoid everybody. I just want like 45 minutes of just wind down time, and then I'll get everybody else to bed. And then but that's my self-care. That's my time to just be like, I might read a little bit, I might do, and I don't think it has to be this grandiose thing.
No, I don't think so either. It's not a $300 spa treatment. I'm all about like going and getting a great deep tissue massage, but like that's not really like cost effective, and like,
it's that the day-to-day only takes you stuff. So far. Yes.
I think it's like, I think it's to your point where it's like you make time for yourself to do something that's important to you. So like for me, I'm the same way. I like to read before bed, or it's like meditating every day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something that I feel like whatever grounds you, I think is really important. And I think investing in relationships is really important. Like, and that is both personally and professionally, but I would say from a professional standpoint, like, I have a list of people that I can, and I hate using the word network because it's so, like, annoying and gross, and I think networking is just, like, it means different things to different people, but, like, I have this group of people that, like, are from all different backgrounds, races, ages, genders, like, across the board, and I know if I needed to call somebody at, like, midnight, I know who I can call, or... Yep. If I was like, oh no, I need more funding, here's where I would go, or I need something legal, like, or here's a doctor on my list that I would call. I think that is so important because at the end of the day, it's like the people are what's going to keep you going. I would say like I work for people, not companies, or I create, you know, an environment that people want to work for. And I think that that's really important, and that you have somebody to guide you. Because like as a business owner, it's, you cry a lot. You have like really like triumphant days, and then there's days where you're just in tears, and like you need somebody to say like, hey, this is normal, it's okay, here's how we're gonna. And I feel like that, but that takes a long time to get there because we harbor relationships because they're like friends, but if they don't align with your values,
we have a concept called evaluate your tribe, right, on a regular basis. And it really is that when you're, you know, 5 years ago, the people you needed around you, whether it's for your career or personal life, whatever it is, that evolves. And I think a lot of us have a tough time letting go. And it's not that those people can't be around you. You're not like breaking up and not having
just
your
like
friends.
Boundaries.
But how are you using them? Mm-hmm. What are you letting in from them?
Yeah.
And that tribe needs to advance with you.
Yeah.
Right. And the people you're taking advice from, and the noise you're letting in. Right. And so I think that's a really important advice. And I also think it's really interesting, and I want to call this out, is we're talking about investing in yourself. Nothing we have talked about so far costs money.
Nope.
It's time.
Yes.
And that's really important for people to realize. Yes, there are things you can do, training, things like that, that do invest in you. But investing in yourself takes deliberate action, and it takes time, which to some people, the money is the easier one.
Oh,
I can throw money at something to try to find an hour or 30 minutes to work out every day, which I believe is investing in myself, is the harder thing.
Yep.
Right? If I could just go pay someone $10
to like yell at me to do crunches.
Or to just have then check my workout box off, if I could just pay, that would actually be way easier for me.
It is, because then it's more accountable because you're like, oh, I'm spending money, therefore I'll show up.
Yeah.
But I think the third piece that actually my business partner, she taught me, because when she went through her journey as an entrepreneur, was she would schedule coffee with herself. She would take herself off to coffee. So yes, you could make coffee at your house as long as you have a space, or like take yourself to a coffee shop, buy a $5 cup of coffee or fancy latte, and you sit down with yourself and you like assess with where you are you on track with your goals? Just, I think that's what, I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, how can you make time for yourself and make sure that you're on track to where you want to be? What I do is, because I'm a designer at heart, I design a beautiful book of my goals, and I write like a letter to myself of like, this is who I would like to become. And I look at it probably every 6 months, and if I want to redesign it because I'm feeling creative, I'll redesign it. But it's always either with me or in my office space to look at. And then I always try and have like a post-it that says something to remind me of just a little motivation. And mine is, you haven't hit your peak yet. So I like look at that. Anytime I'm like feeling like, oh, am I a one-hit wonder? I'm like, nope, there's that post-it. So I think it's full circle. I think true investment in yourself is free, and it's just time, which is a form of currency, but you have to figure out how can you make time for yourself, whether it's taking yourself out for a cup of coffee, making a vision board. For my visual friends, make a vision board, but put it somewhere where you see it.
Yep.
Because I think sometimes we write down goals and we put it in a drawer, mm-hmm. and then we don't look at it until January 1 of the following year.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to only have one or two things that you work on.
Yeah,
you
don't focus on those things.
Yeah, I think priority is power. Like, pick a couple things, and they can be really simple. I think, like, we put too much pressure on ourselves because everybody's trying to be, like, thin and read 1,000 books. And
yeah.
I just think it could be something really, really
simple. Neither one of those things are on my list.
No.
I have a lot of other things. Neither one of the read 1,000 books is definitely not, and thin I've given up on a long time ago.
I think weight resolutions are really poor.
I just hate resolutions in general because I think all year long, again, you should be doing this, and it should, maybe it's an investment plan in yourself instead of a resolution. What's an investment plan you're going to make? And it's that I'm going to commit to once a week doing the coffee.
Take myself out for coffee by
myself. And once a month I'm going to do this. Like,
and it's
create
tech
that
free.
Plan.
And it's like tech free, and you have to commit to it, or it's just not going to work if you don't treat it as serious as if you were like meeting with a client. Like, you wouldn't be texting or looking at Facebook when you're meeting with a client. Like, consider yourself, you know, your own client. Like, you need to sit down and really treat it.
Have that clarity break as we talk about it. Yeah.
I think it's so important, and then it's something you look forward to. I like love the time I can check in with myself because it's a good reminder that you're making progress. And I think to that point too, it's like you're reminding yourself of like, oh, I've actually been making a ton of progress and not even realizing it. I am bad at it, and I've gotten a lot better. And reflecting. I think that's also a big part of investing in yourself is like, do you take just the time to see how far you've actually come?
Yep.
And I don't think we do that because we live in a fast and furious world where we're demanded of our attention all the time. We should be doing a million things. We have families. But, like, dedicating time to also reflect on where you've come, I think, is so important.
And that's what, you know, thinking about an investment plan in yourself for the year, but also putting increments in there to celebrate. Because, you know, we talk about here all the time is that success is built in increments.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this far-off goal.
Right.
Yes, that can be there that's guiding you, but that's not what we're waiting for.
Totally.
Right? You're not happy when you get there. We need to be happy in the increments along the way.
Yes.
And celebrating in those increments is a really important piece.
I totally agree, and I love what you just said that, like, oh, well, once I get to X, I'll be happy. And I went through that experience. Like, I thought if I achieved X, Y, and Z, oh, finally I'll be happy. And, like, that's just not how it works. Like, you need to be happy in the present and make sure you're content with where you're at, and then it'll only continue to get better. I think trying to, and that to me is like a meditation practice. It's like trying to put your happiness not in the present is such a way, you're just wasting your life instead of just being happy in the present moment. And I think, and this is also making me think about my meditation practice too, that like investing in yourself is a form of generosity. I'm currently doing a course about generosity in my meditation practice, and they challenge you to be kind to yourself and do something for yourself. And this is a form of being generous. Just like you take a friend out for a cup of coffee who's going through a breakup or needs realignment in their career or is just, you know, just exhausted and they want time for themselves. Like, you should be being generous with yourself too. I think that's so important.
It's the same thing. Unless you can do it for yourself, how can you truly do it for others?
Totally. And we hear that all the time. And it's like, we hear those things, but it's like, it's so much harder to execute. Execution
is
the hardest thing, but like it's hard because it's important and like change is not easy, but if you can be okay with like forcing yourself to come into this new routine, you'll actually find that you really enjoy it.
Well, and I think because so many people feel like it's selfish that to invest in myself or take time or money or whatever the currency is in myself is selfish because mm-hmm. I should be giving that to someone else. And you hit it on the head right out of the gate is mental health. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we're talking about mental health, we're not talking about mental health like you need a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a totally different conversation. Right. But we're talking about that day-to-day mental health.
Yes.
I mean, it really does impact us. And when we can't take care of ourselves mm-hmm. and do the things we need to do, we can't take care of other people well.
Totally. And I think even, because I agree, it's like mental health is such a loaded word. And I think it means so many. I think it's like, in the sense that we're talking, it's like headspace. Like, are you in the right headspace? Because I also think, too, it's like if your mind is cluttered, you cannot make a good decision. Or you're not going to be kind to your coworkers or your family. And, like, I don't know. I just think that, like, if you take the time to truly take care of yourself, and regardless of how you define that, like, you will find it is so easy to be happy. Like, it is so easy. Like, it is such a choice to, like, find joy in your life and just see how far people have come. And I think, like, as women, I think we're told we're supposed to be givers, and at all times we should be giving everything all the time. And I think, to your point, a lot of women probably feel selfish because they're moms, because they feel like they're doing everything, but like, it's selfish for you not to do that, because then you're like not the best version of yourself in
Correct.
Your life.
And Correct. And you're burnt out and you're crabby and you're, I mean, we've all been there.
Burnout blows. And it is just a type of fatigue that, like, I think we're in like a burnout, what's it called? Like catastrophe right now, where it's like burnout culture is totally a thing. And I think it's because we don't turn off, we don't take time for ourselves.
We don't invest.
No, we don't invest. And I think that it's not selfish. I think it's selfish if you're not investing in yourself, because you're just delivering a version of yourself that you wouldn't be happy with if you saw.
So we've discussed a lot of concepts here today, right?
Yes.
A lot of ideas. Simplify it down for me. What would you, if someone's listening is going, yeah, I know, right? It's just like eating right. Like, I know what I'm supposed to eat. I just don't do it.
Yeah,
right? This is
I
the
love
same
fries.
Thing. Like, no one's gonna disagree that they shouldn't be doing these things.
Right.
We're all about simplification
yes.
here at Keystone. I'm like, I just want people to take a step. Like, mm-hmm. I don't care about 10 steps. I don't care about perfection and getting
yes.
it right. What's the first step? What guidance would you give someone right now, something mm-hmm. they could do today that would just get them moving in the right direction in this investment mental health space?
I would say schedule right now. Go onto your calendar, whether it's paper, digital, and schedule your first coffee with yourself. And I think at that first one, have no expectations other than
blank sheet of paper.
Yeah, no expectations, no tech. Just go in and just decide that you are ultimately going to set the expectations of how you're going to start making time for yourself. But you have to put it in your calendar. You have to schedule it.
Yep.
It is non-negotiable. And I think if it's in your calendar, and Marie Forleo, if you're familiar with her, she mm-hmm. is all about that practice where it's like, if you schedule it, therefore you're accountable to be there. And so I would say that. Just schedule your first cup of coffee and then see how it goes. Just try not to have any expectations other than you're finally giving yourself, you're being generous to yourself to like take time to invest.
And see what comes out of it, because a lot of times clarity, I find when I do that, and I don't do it as often as I should, and so for me, sometimes it's working out and stuff.
Yeah.
I can provide clarity and I have my best thoughts when I'm doing that. So it doesn't have to be, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do this. But that clarity, actually, I can solve problems that I've been wrapped up around.
Yes.
And when I quiet, you know, everything else,
totally.
The solution is there subconsciously. And so I think that is an important thing to again, not having any expectations. I want to solve these three problems, but oftentimes just thinking about different things that are going on.
Yeah.
So you'll start to find some of that.
And it'll be so amazing to see how you feel. Like when you remove, I just don't think we're not present all the time. I think like to be present, whether it's like you're working out, you're having whatever is going to make you feel like you're investing in yourself to have time, like how you feel is going to be very interesting.
Well, and that's where the commitment starts to come from.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you talk about working out is I work out pretty religiously, not crazy, but like religiously.
Feel great. It's like
not because I like working out.
Right.
I like how I feel.
Yes, you sleep
after,
better. And
right, the endorphins and all of that. I'm less crabby during the day. Like all of those reasons. But this is the same thing. Is
mm-hmm.
once you start to have that feeling, your body will naturally want more of that feeling.
Yes.
And so you'll start to be more accountable and more committed to it. So I think that's a great first step.
Yeah. And I think, too, once you make that step, like, I love that we live in a world where there are so many resources. So if you decide you schedule your coffee meeting, you decide you want to do X, Y, and Z, you can Google legitimately anything for prompts and how you can start organizing and investing in yourself with, like, prompts to write about. But
yeah,
I think that,
start,
like,
with a question,
that's
or
what I'm
start
saying.
With a...
Or you're like, oh, my God, actually, because I feel this way, I realize I now need to have a conversation with so-and-so about this. Like, I think it's just going to open the door to only positive things.
I love, love, love this. So, fantastic. I feel like we've covered so many topics in this. This has been, like, a marathon. We have a lot of
people
other topics
gonna be
that
like,
we could
totally
cover.
Totally overwhelmed.
That's all right. Listen to it again, right? Sometimes you got to go back and listen
Take
to it the
notes.
Second time. So how can people get more information on you, connect with you, learn more about Mend? What's the best way?
So I would say my website. So mendjewelry.com is where you can access all my gems. Also on Instagram, same thing, at Mend. I also am a business mentor. I will mentor women in business. I actually... I dedicate time to Women Venture, if you're familiar
yes,
with them.
I am a coach there as well.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. How fun is that? So I'm a business mentor for the Small Business Essentials course, and I love it. I think there's nothing more exciting than to watch a woman harness her own capabilities to go from zero to one. That is the hardest thing to do, so I will mentor women, and I have a lot of energy, so I think I like to get them super excited and let them know that they've got a good business, and we help them get it to market. So I do a little bit of that, and all my info is on Mend's website, so we can...
And we'll put that in the podcast notes, so anybody that's driving or doing whatever they do when they listen to podcasts, we'll make sure that we've got that in there for everybody to check out.
Yeah, and you can find all my products on there. I sell on Nordstrom online. But yeah, everything can be found on my website. That is the most variety of product. This has been really fun.
Thank you for being here.
This is a really great way to start. I don't even know what day it is. That's an entrepreneur. What day is it? I don't know. But what a great way to start.
It's a great way to start the day.
A day. We're starting. That's a true entrepreneur.
I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
You.
And for all of you listening, just grateful for you continuing to engage with us. The feedback that we get on these kind of topics and how it's really helping you think differently about success, whatever that looks like for you. So just as a reminder this week, just focus on that next step. Focus on that next increment and that one thing that you can do that's going to get you to that next level of success. Thanks, everyone.